that's big, and that's as big as anything. And he was like, what are you talking about? And I can, it's just that line at the end was, Munster are here to win championships, not beat Leinster.
Yeah.
As if, like, great, it was brilliant for us to beat Leinster. But, like, that's not your final. Like, a final, like, winning against the Stormers. Like, that Leinster match no one's forgotten about. Because it's much bigger to win in Cape Town, or to win a first title in 12 years.
Joe presents House of Rugby, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.
Hello, and you're very welcome along to House of Rugby. It's a great day. We're together here with Bank of Ireland. I think we should start off with a sing-song, Jason. Stand up and fight until you hear the bell. Stand toe to toe, trade blow for blow. Keep fighting till you make your punches down. Come on, Munster! Okay.
Oh, sorry, I was being this fella.
Sorry for the loud noise to start off the pod, but if you're not watching on YouTube, we're all decked out in our Munster gear. Even Lindsay and Mr. Pat is in as well in his Munster gear.
Mr. Pat. He's not Pat the Baker. Right.
Was there a match on the weekend?
There was a there was a couple of matches
on. Premiership final, yeah. Saracens won, didn't they? Yeah, that was a good game, wasn't it? And the Barbarians as well.
All right, Stevie Wonder.
Okay, glasses off. Okay.
So before we delve into the beauty that happened on the weekend, Jason, me and you were still smiling. Do you have anything to say, Lindsay and Pat? Just so I apologise to Munster.
No, I'd just like to thank our sponsors, Bank of Ireland. That's why I'm wearing this jersey. Look, lads.
Well, to bring you back to two episodes ago.
No, don't bother your backside.
Munster have fought the good fight, and you said
yeah,
because
I'm a Leinster woman, true and true. Just because I'm sitting here in a Munster jersey, don't you?
I think you should publicly apologise to Munster. They're all listening. Graham Rowntree and the boys.
I'm going to publicly be apologising for me being the charm and wit of this show.
That's true.
Listen, don't you start flirting with me again. Look, congratulations. It's hard sitting here in a Munster jersey, but do you know what? These were unbelievable at the end of the season. And it was a nice mixture and your boys have matured. And look, take your plaudits because you deserve it. Congratulations. Where are those words I am looking for? Congratulations, Munster Rugby.
She means it.
Hello, Lindsay. And you look fab in the jersey, by the way.
Well, thank you very much. Jason brought me a blue one to at least help me. Yeah, I did wear black trousers because I thought I was wearing red. So yeah.
We didn't want to rub it in too much and put it on red. Like.
Yeah, no, you're very kind.
What about Jason having about 17 Munster jerseys? Like?
He didn't do his homework. He was going through his wardrobe. No, he I don't like that one.
I'm wearing, as you see, classic 06, probably one of the best jerseys. Sorry, Bank of Ireland. No, I haven't got the Bank of Ireland one this, but like, come on, this is the Holy Grail. This is the 06 jersey. This is where it all began, and this is where it's all going to start again after the weekend.
I love
now,
that.
Now, there is a smell of nostalgia in this room. I think it's from the jersey.
what I want to say is just like, yeah, like, there we go, like, 2006 jersey. And I was even speaking about being in Auckland and being up at like 4 a.m. or 5 a.m. in the morning over there when Munster beat, you know, won their first ever European Cup and like, just kind of, what a journey that was. And I was saying, sometimes if people thought we were critical of Munster over the last 12 years, it's not just the last year or two, it's that we're kind of like a little bit of that is born on frustration. Like you want Munster to be a big team and you want them to be. And so often it looked like they were just coming close and failing as well. Like, so just delighted to have them back.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit of a real rivalry going on over the next few seasons. And it's good to have a plaything back again for Leinster. It was just too easy for so long. Like,
it was too easy. Can you believe Munster have won more trophies in the last two seasons than Leinster, and yet we've only lost
I can't believe it because I never stopped believing.
Oh, here we go.
I always said it.
Never stopped believing.
No matter how low they got in that league table. What did I say, Jason?
You said it, day one.
There's something left in Munster.
Oh,
I
in
believe.
The same space you said we have more Munster jersey in so long. When's the last time you wore a Munster jersey now,
I have a bitterness that they dropped me.
Yeah, I didn't hear. Show exclusive.
Before we move on, can we just mention quickly that I stole your Mystic hat off you?
Ridiculous.
If you want to listen back and or watch back, what did I say?
You said Munster by five points.
Munster by five.
Ridiculous.
I predict these things.
What's going on in this room, lads? We're just predicting exact scores.
You're going to send me, like, come on, lads. Like, who's going to win the World Cup? Can you predict it? Who's going to win? Give us something. You got to give us something.
France.
Oh, get out. We'll talk about the World Cup after we talk about the Munster win. Because Ireland's 45-man World Cup squad is getting named tomorrow.
Yes.
So we could probably name about 35, 40. And then it's the last couple of guys. Yeah. I think a few Munster lads might have put up their hand. They have to.
For sure. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. We get onto that when we got to the match. But there's a load of guys there that probably weren't in that conversation 4 weeks ago. And someone who has been in that conversation is Mike Healy. Again after the weekend. But we'll continue.
Has Ben Healy, has he been capped by Scotland?
He has been capped by Scotland. He came off the bench in the final game against Italy, I believe.
He's capped. He's played.
So it ain't happening.
So for anyone that was living under a rock the weekend, Munster beat Stormers in the final of the URC 19-14 down in Cape Town, in a packed out Cape Town stadium. But that didn't stop Munster because they're the home wreckers. And I actually saw Tommy O'Donnell. Do you remember Tommy O'Donnell?
Yeah, of course.
Epic back row for Ireland and Munster.
He's got some role.
He coaches. I think he's under 20.
Such a nice guy.
Great player.
He had to retire because he dislocated his hip. How ridiculous is that? Anyway, he posted on his Instagram saying, this team are battle hardened. And I thought that was the perfect way to put it. We were chatting beforehand that they went, the last time they played at home was the 25th of March against Glasgow, and they lost 38-26 in round 16 of the URC. Like, what do we know? End of May. They haven't been at home in ages. Do you know what I mean?
We said that weeks ago about those away games, and you know that when you're playing sport, when you go off on a trip, nothing bonds a team better than when you go off on a trip, have a few beers together, a few lunches together, a few activities. So they've had this, like, when their season was at an all-time low, they're like, okay, we got to buckle up, we're going off on a trip together. We said it before they went to South Africa, and goes, maybe this is the best thing that could happen to them. And it has been. Because they said they're battled, not only the battling, but they've also, like, you trust that person on your inside and outside shoulder even more, and you know more about them because a lot of new guys come into the team, old guys mixing together, and it's resulted in a first trophy in 12 years.
Oh, yeah. Can you believe that Keith Earls and Conor Murray were in that squad back in 2011? See the photos going around? They're only little babbies, like. They're only out of school, like.
Yeah.
And they were all, they really like made a thing of Keith Earls winning it, didn't they? Did you see that photo?
I thought that was lovely. And I thought Graham Rowntree alluded to that in his post-match, just at how important it was, but also how battle-hardened they were. How they've come true. Pio Mahoney, the same, in that same interview, said that the 2 weeks originally in South Africa, you know, when they got the draw, they needed to keep their hopes alive of getting through, that that 2 weeks really stood to them. And they've just been on a trajectory of, like, just this upward trajectory since then. So I think it's lovely to see. Dennis Leamy as well, in some of his interviews, said that the expectation of Munster, and I think that's, you know, going to back up your frustration about Munster, there is an expectation for a province and a club who have, let's be honest, being the history makers and standard bearers of Irish rugby since professionalism in 95. So hats off to his lads. Yeah. We were obviously supportive, and it's lovely to see his back, but it's obviously lovely to see the youth with the experience. It's lovely to see Keith Earls, who we thought whose career was over, who has immersed.
King of Limerick.
His DNA, Limerick. His kids, his wife, they've been through some battle as like Pio Mahoney put up his kids, like jumping on his wife to the telly. That's what it means, because families go through every single emotion with them, as do the players, you know, when they see the highs, they see the lows. As he said himself, you bring home the bad form when you lose, you know, and they do. And I just thought it was lovely. And Conor Murray, the same thing. It's lovely to see him when his box kicks back. He controlled the game. He sped it up to the pace they needed to move the Stormers around from sideline to sideline. And I just think it's lovely to see him back at his best, to be honest.
You probably owe him an apology as well, do you?
No, I'm not going to give any apology.
Lindsay, like, there was something in the air. I said it to you on the week, I put that clip in. So it was at the presser on, what day was the presser? Tuesday or Wednesday?
John Klein.
And there was a question put to him. It was kind of, why the reporter wasn't trying to put him down, but it was kind of phrased poorly that, you know, even if you lose now, at least you beat Leinster in the semi-final. Like, and, you know, that's big. And that's as big as anything. And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, and it's just that line at the end was, Munster are here to win championships, not beat Leinster.
Yeah.
As if, like, great, it was brilliant for us to beat Leinster. But, like, that's not your final. Like, a final, like, winning against the Stormers, like, that Leinster match no one's forgotten about. Because it's much bigger to win in Cape Town, or to win a first title in 12 years. Like, the Leinster win was just a stepping stone along the way. Like, I mean, if look at Leinster, did they look back on their big semi-final win against Toulouse? Was that huge? No, it wasn't, because they lost the final.
No.
And even if they won the final, they still would have forgot about that Toulouse match. And that's the way it works.
I think you have multiple monkeys off your back. Yeah. I will apologise. Well, I won't apologise, Conor Murray, because I think as a player, I've said to you, it's lovely to see, and it reignites that passion inside you when someone's clipping at your heels. And a lovely moment actually in that match was Craig Casey sprawled out like a starfish, and who comes over to him on Conor Murray? And they're the lovely battles that reignite the player that we've seen. And Graham Rancher said the same thing. He said he didn't pick him in January in the Champions Cup matches.
What?
And here is Conor Murray back at his best just before a World Cup. So I'm saying these things as a player and an analyst. I've been there. You know, it's, you know, sometimes you need that, you know, sit on the bench and have a think about yourself and see what you want to react. And I think he's reacted as the consummate professional that he is.
That first half an hour was prime Murray. Like, that was Murray at his best. And I remember I counted the first five box hits he put up. We won every single one of them back. His passing was just zipping it out. Left, right, bang. I was like, this is the Conor Murray that, when he was the best nine in the world, that was him for that first 40 minutes. I was like, wow, this is something. There's something in the air here. Like, even though we should have went in winning by more at half time, and the doubts start to set in, and then that intercept try, and you're like, no. This is going to come off at some stage, the way they're playing. Even 70 minutes gone, you're like, no, there's a score in them. I don't know. Like, did you feel that way?
I mean, I was saying, I was listening to, I had it like on the laptop on Premier Sport, and then I had TG Carr.
Yes.
I was watching it. So Marcus Horan, they kept cutting to him, and he kept talking about Manny Libbock, and he was like, just keep in the fight, just keep hanging on in there. This guy's got a mistake in him. This guy's got a mistake in him. And Libbock was class in the semi-final. He was class again, and then one mistake and he botched it up. And I was Munster's thing was just stay in the fight, stay in there, and you just have a chance. And I thought Gav Coombs was like, didn't have one of his, like, you know, it's not, he didn't have a poor game, but like, some big moments went against them as well, but then he comes up big at the end and brilliant as well. Like, but yeah, I suppose the big hope as you guys as Munster fans might have been that Roland Maul all of a sudden, because like you'd expect to go to Cape Town and kind of like their brute force might kind of push you guys back. Even Joseph Dweeba was kind of saying in that video, "We're gonna f them up." Yeah. Like, you know, like that would have been their big thing. But for you guys to bully them at the Roland Maul, then you're 100%. Like, here we go, we're in this now.
The big thing we said last week as well is like, they're not your traditional kind of South African team in terms of they don't rely massively heavily on their forwards, but their backs are electric. What did Munster do in that first half? They took them in the backs. The backs, I haven't seen Munster play that attack and play, like inside, outside, buffaloes, and the speed of everything. I was like, what am I? I couldn't keep up with the screen. It's like, what am I watching? Is it the Guinness or what is it like? Because this looks unbelievable, what I'm seeing in front of me. This is not Munster playing. And it was just phenomenal. And like, that's how you shut down the Stormers. And then you beat them in the Maldwell on top of that. And it's like, hey, this title's coming home. Like,
we said that in the semi-final when we kind of said, well, what way did Munster need to play for Leinster? You were saying the Munster way. We were saying we had to match them. You just had to match them. We? I have said we.
Did you hear that?
Yes. It's Irish people.
Irish people had to match them.
We.
Playing some rugby. And I think that's also lended to the evolution of Munster rugby, that they're really, like we said before this final, set P was going to be key, and it absolutely was. They matched them in the scrum. They won all their lineouts. They won them, like, they challenged them at the breakdown. And then they were able to, like Crowley looked like he had all the time in the world to, like, let that runner and then hit the second line of attack. Calvin Nash was back to his best. Shane Daly was cool as a cucumber as he watched Runel come create that gap and back inside of John Honda for the thing. Like, 14 out of 15 Munster players touched that ball in the last 3 minutes of that game for that try. And I was like, if anything, I thought you were going to lose on just pure fatigue, because you had given everything and you just stuck in the fight. It was just brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely
brilliant. Yeah, it's stunning, like, to see the balance throughout the team. Like, the four pack, as you mentioned, like the maul they got on top of a South African pack. Like, I know you said they don't rely on their strength, but it's still a very strong pack.
Yeah.
And then to have the flow of the back line, they were getting so much purchase out, pulling out the back. I couldn't believe the Stormers were so all over the place. They couldn't deal with it. Like, and it was just relentless pressure. And at least four or five times I was like, this game is so fast. And like you, Lindsay, I was like, I don't know if these Munster lads can stay up at this pace, because the South African guys are used to playing at that pace. But they were totally fine. They just kept going, and they had the heart, I think. You could see they were goose, but they just kept going and kept going, and the patience paid off in the end. And John Hodden at the end of the corner, did you see his post-match interview?
Dropped an F-bomb in a man.
Yeah,
yeah, effing good win actually. Yeah. And he hit Nans, like.
Who's doing media training with them? Because Paddy Patterson was there.
Do you know what's a big thing as well? Just as you mentioned earlier, like whether or not they keep up with them. I remember like being in the Johnny Old pub talk inside the Jacks at half time.
Yeah.
And we're talking away. I was kind of like, geez, I don't know if we keep up the second half. And I was like, hold on a minute. Look at our bench. For the first time ever, I was like, when a man you thought, okay, it's going to bring on a World Cup winner, RG Snyman. You've got Casey on the bench. You've got Ben Healy on the bench. You've got Keith Earls on the bench. I'm like, we've got a hell of a bench. And all of them came on and played a pivotal role.
Yeah.
Even if you look at like Earls, Earls didn't play much of that game, right? But if you look towards the end, you look from the build-up into that 75-minute, the 75th-minute try that was to win it. They're coming across the right-hand side and they're kind of, same again, they're trying to move things quick, trying to show an offload. Kind of an offload goes astray, Earls regathers it, goes into contact, doesn't get held, gets that extra couple of yards, all of a sudden opens up a big load of space out wide, and probably four or five phases later, we scored a try. Then you go down then, and they're like trying to like get their winning score, and like they make a break on the left, and Earls runs halfway across the pitch, and like tackles the Stormers winger. Yeah, Libbock slides him across. You're like, this is like, to have someone like this come off the bench and close it out is incredible.
But you could see how much it meant to him. Like, he always plays well, but there was an extra, like, 1% on top. He was sprinting after guys, like, doing extra efforts, going, like, it was just like, these guys want it so bad. And I remember seeing that, the tackle across, when he ran across the pitch, and I was like, okay, I think we can actually do this. This is going to happen. Like,
that was the moment I was like, yeah, no, actually, they have
it. They want it so badly. Like, yeah, it was incredible to see. But, Pat, you've been dealing with sport and rugby for years. Would you say that the fact that the South African teams are in the league now, that it makes, this is now the hardest league to win compared to any other years, like Magners League and Pro 14, now it's URC. Do you think it's the hardest one to win?
No, different premierships, so you can't, like, that's probably pretty easy.
Premiership is in bits, isn't it? Yeah, London Irish,
like, enough to win that.
As in, it's the hardest format of this league that it's ever been, because you have to go to South.
Yeah, the only counter to that then is that the Welsh sides suck at the moment. But the South African sides are brilliant, and they're taking it seriously, and they're throwing out kind of like their big internationals and the big games. They get the breaks as well. Yeah, it's the toughest it's ever been to win this league. Like, yeah. The only thing about it is it's this new format again where it's like you have a last eight. Because I was saying, a lot of people were sharing this old tweet of mine from January where I was kind of saying, I don't think Munster or Ulster are going to do anything here. Like, they both look pretty useless. And like, I was like, I'm happy to own it and kind of go fair play to Munster now as well. But it's like, it's not like back in January things started turning around. It was like on April the 1st, they conceded 50 points to Sharks in South Africa. Like, that was like, and it's now 29th of May. It's like 8 weeks ago. Like, they looked dead and buried. Like, and they're able to come back. So it's all of a sudden now, it's almost like, you know, when you get in the championship in football, if you time your run for the playoffs, now it's all about momentum and form. Like, so it's an interesting one for the likes of Leinster and Ulster. If you finish the season strong, then it's all about, like getting form, getting it together. Like, it's a really interesting kind of thing for the future of this competition. Like, you don't have to go out and win every game. I was even thinking, like, for Leinster next year, if they need to, like, not to turn it to Leinster now, Lindsay,
but we will.
But, like, just talk again, like, Leinster should send a fully stacked team to South Africa next year rather than sending the B team, because they need to get toughened up. There's a good chance. They're the games to go down and actually talk smack before they get into South Africa as well. And get these boys charged up and say, we're going to go down and we're going to trash you boys. Send your best team out as well. And then there's a good test for them as well. Like, but yeah, it's very tough to win. To go, like, will it? Like, I don't think it's ever been done. You were kind of saying before. I don't know when the next time it's going to be done as well. To go and win away from home.
Quarter final, semi final and final.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, it's such an unlikely win. Like, I don't know if... I'd love to meet somebody who threw a fiver on it or something like that, because they'd be doing well for themselves there today. Like, and very tough. Like, it's incredible win for them. Like, yeah.
Not only was it the quarterfinal, semi-final, final, round 17 and 18 was away to Stormers and Sharks.
A win and draw, yeah.
So the last five games in the URC were all away from home. And it's mad that throughout the season people were giving out that Leinster were residents in the Aviva Stadium. Like, but that obviously came down to be negative for them, Lindsay, didn't it?
But yeah, and last week there was some great comments and Keep the Woman on our YouTube. And one of them, I said, obviously on the show last week, Leinster didn't know how to win dirty against La Rochelle. Now, that doesn't mean that you box head off. It's actually Dublinese to say that you need to blood out those wins. And that's what we're saying. Like, Graham Rowntree and O'Mahony are saying that it was, you were hardened, you were battle hardened. And that's what I mean by winning dirty. You're able to take the ball, keep possession, know what your role is, you know, Jack Rowley, you know, having the she's the absolute nerves of steel to kick from halfway into a 5 metre channel where some, you know, it's those moments that define you and train your brain and train your nerves and everything like that. So we didn't have those same big challenges. Like the first game we lost in the URC was the semi-final and we didn't know how to win dirty, which means that we just were able to keep the ball and grind out a win without playing this expansive, fabulous style of rugby that got us through the season untouched. Mm. And Munster did that. Like, they took their hard learnings and they're like, no amount of money can buy you that. Like, no amount of money can buy you those games.
From travelling for seasons, that being in hotels and you're rooming with another player and you just get to know them inside out. You see them going to the toilet, like the whole lot.
Well, listen,
like,
you share things you shouldn't share with your roommate.
The stuff that happens in those hotels that just bonds you like so much. And these Munster lads have been on the road for months together, talking with, like, missing their families and stuff. And that just bonds you so close as a group. And the fact that media were like, oh, Munster will never do it, that probably bonded them closer because they're bitter over it. And the Leinster lads, even though it seemed like a positive, they were all going home to their houses in Dublin. Mm. And we even had Conor O'Brien on, who said a big benefit is the fact you get to sleep in your own bed with your family. Yeah. But then you're not spending time like outside of sport with your playmates or your playmates, your teammates.
I think a big thing we should take from this as well, like, from overall, we're on the final show of the season and we're looking back on the URC. Like, overall, and it's our second year of the URC and second year doing this show, it's probably one of the best success stories in rugby in recent years, the actual URC itself.
Yeah.
Because if you look back at the Pro 12, the Pro 14, the Pro 16, they tried so many times and it was getting worse and worse, less crowds, less people interested in it. Like, we didn't tune into a lot of those matches. Like, Leinster's big wins kind of got overlooked because it was like, it's only the little competition. Mm. You just kind of, we'll just keep winning every year. But now, like, teams want to win this trophy now. And you look at the quality of that final, 55,000 people over in South Africa, Stormers versus Munster. It was incredible. The Munster-Leinster semi-final was incredible. Mm-hmm. Big crowds at that as well. Like, it was a record for a semi-final crowd in the URC. So all of a sudden, now we've got this competition. Like, the Premiership has fallen away to absolute nothing.
Yeah.
And we always looked up and goes, I wish we were like the Premiership. They're going to fall behind. Super Rugby is just the Crusaders just win it every year.
They're thinking of kicking the Aussies out. You know what I mean?
And they don't know what they're doing. So, like, now the URC is probably the premier club competition in the world.
Well, it's
class to watch. Yeah. It's always good games, which is what we want, and we're involved in it. When it's gonna benefit our Irish team, it's gonna benefit everything because you're playing in the best league and it's the best players.
Yeah.
And you've got the Champions Cup then on top of that, which is the biggest competition you can win in club rugby.
Yeah. So the quality of test games, and
we need that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
and it's not going anywhere.
URC, good job.
They've done a great job and they're getting some serious backing in as well financially, like, for next season.
That's the same, so it's going to get bigger and bigger.
It's only going to get better, like,
No, fair play.
You know? I was wondering, Greg, you were saying you got messages from some of the lads after they won the semi-final and stuff. Did you hear from any of them over in South Africa? I saw there's some class videos of Craig Casey dancing and stuff on the way out of the hotel.
I just sent messages to a couple of lads that I'll be close with, just saying well done, and they just thanked me, like, but they'd be so busy, man, just pointing. They were straight on the bus. And
I'm amazed that they're coming back. Yeah,
there's one tonight in Tone Park, so if you're in, although will the show be out today? Show will be out today, yeah, so you'll be fine.
Will you be there?
Get down. I'll be there.
You're going to go down to
I'll be there. Yeah, I'm going to do it with a press off or so. I'll
I think you should. You and your little mare. I'd go down.
They got home pretty quick, but they'll be on the piss for, I don't know, a week.
2 weeks. Month.
When does pre-season start?
When the World Cup loads of time.
That is a class trophy to be bringing around to you as well, isn't
it? I know. Do you know what as well? We said that last year, but they'd actually, like, we were used to constantly complaining about the World 14 trophy. It's just this stupid. It's like a man in a match award thing.
Mantelpiece job.
The whole point of winning a trophy is to enjoy the trophy and celebrate the trophy, and everyone knows
enjoy
what I'm
the
talking
trophy
about.
Yeah,
you fill it up with booze and you drink out of it, and that is the best part in the changing room. You win a cup, you fill it up, you take a sip, you pass it around, and it's probably the best feeling of a cup. So they actually purposely designed this so the top of it screws off so that you can fill
it
up.
You can drink
booze
out of it.
Like, you can't win a cup and not be able to drink out of the cup. Like, it just defeats the purpose of winning a cup.
The lads are having so much crack. Did you see the photo of Calvin Nash and Craig Casey in their jocks as well? It's on their Instagram.
Just, oh, is it?
Yeah. Just taking a photo with the trophy. I don't know if that was kind of like a play on who was the scrum half for South Africa?
Faf de Klerk
did it as well.
Probably is. He did it for the World Cup.
Yeah, I think it was something to do with that. Like, very funny. Like, was it you that was telling me in the international rugby experience that they built a balcony for coming out with the trophy?
A balcony.
Yeah, Paul O'Connell was saying it, and maybe it was Brian O'Bannon.
They have balconies with Jess, well, yeah, probably can, yeah.
Maybe it was Brian O'Bannon was telling me that they have a balcony there just in case someone wins a trophy.
But like,
but Paul O'Connell,
another week ago. Yeah.
But Paul O'Connell was saying that they're like, oh, we'll probably never use that. Like, you know, it's just there in case. I wonder, will they be going out on that
I'm
now?
I'm sure they will. They're going to be all over Limerick and Cork, Waterford, the whole of Munster. Like, they're doing the big thing in Thoma Park. They're definitely going to use it, rugby experience, because Paul O'Connell will enforce them. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, what an opportunity to get down there, because it's a non-profit. It's a great thing for Limerick. Like, so they'd be more than happy to come down and help out and get that boot. It's a great boost for the rugby museum as well. But I don't know. Can we just mention one thing, actually, we haven't mentioned yet. That's how bloody good nerves of steel Jack Crowley throwed that whole thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm. Like,
I think wow. Yeah.
Lads, we've won the World Cup, but like,
this kid is, and we knew he was special, but like, that is to step into a game like that, 23 years of age, 55,000 people, URC final against the Stormers, the Holders, and he was just as cool as you like for that whole game.
But his impact on his team, like, I know myself having a 10 that's so secure, and basically, you know, you never have the coach on the pitch with you, but you do in your halfback pairing or your fullback or whatever. That leader is the same with basketball. I was a point guard; it wasn't really the coach on the court as much as I should have been. But they're your leaders, you know. And he just naturally, like, he was so cool, calm, and collected, and it just reverberated and just flew through him and through into his team. And I just thought he was key to that win again the weekend, because when you have someone so assured in the 10 position, it just calms you. Like, I know as a prop, you can just calm and go about your job. Do you know what I mean? Knowing that the direction is going to come from your 10. Yeah. And I just thought he did that exceptionally well.
We're making all these comparisons, him and Roger. To me, I think he's more of a Johnny.
Yeah.
It's very much like Sexton, because he brings that physicality as well. He's a big lad. And like, people forget, like, Johnny like takes the ball hard to line every time. And Johnny's well able to tackle. And that's what he's like. And that cool, that calm head, that everyone kind of looks up around you and just kind of, you dictate things. And that's, to me, that's what he's like. And we're losing a Johnny Sexton soon. Like, so no better man to step up to that mantle. And it's about time we had a Munster man back at 10 for
Ireland. But his little line break as well. He had the two hands on the ball, and it looked like he'd constantly given the out the back pass. And next of all, one of the Stormers shot, and in he went through that gap. And sure, you nearly got a try off, and it was a yellow card for Roos that he had led to that, the Gavin Coombs try that had been disallowed. But it was his little half break, because again, his eyes are up. He's always waiting to make that decision based on what the defence is there. He's never just going through the motions of what he should be doing. And that's the difference between the next level player out of 10. And I think
he really stepped up. He had his arsenal of tricks, like, the whole time. His tackling, his carrying, the fact that he stepped up to take the conversion when Ben Healy was on the pitch as well. He was like, no, I'll take it.
Crucial conversion, because then no penalty was going to win it for them.
He doesn't look nervous at all. I don't know if he is underneath, but he never looks like he just doesn't get nervous. Or like, he's supposed to be, I'm here, I'm going to take the bull by the horns now and make it happen. Like, he's just, see the photo of the Johnny Sexton and Succession, and there's like, who's in it? Ross Byrne,
Joey Carberry,
Prendergast. It's so good. I just think Jack Crowley's had to put his hand up now, and he's like, it's me. Has to be. The way he's controlled that team, like, and as you said, he's allowed everyone else to play really, really well. Mike Haley stepped up beautifully. Feketoa had an outstanding game.
How love lost is that? Like, I mean, he's gone, I think, now. What happened in January there, and what people are saying is, Munster kind of, like, the way things were going, they kind of hedged their bets in January. You're kind of like, hey, it ain't quite working out for this guy. He's costing us a lot of money. Let's just let him go and not sign him on. And the same thing, I think, happened with Ben. I think Ben Healy was willing to stay, but he's like, can you guarantee me in the match squad every week? Mm-hmm. At least on the bench.
Would now,
Now he would be, but at the time he wasn't. So they kind of hedged their bets, and now we're losing Feketoa and Healy.
I thought Healy made a big difference when he came on as well. He was all over the ball, man. And he's so nonchalant. He's just slinging passes. Like, never. Same thing as Crowley. Never looks nervous. Just does his job. He had an unbelievable 15 minutes when he came on.
Did you see, there was a lovely moment, because like, he is leaving. Him and Gab Coombs, like, two lads, Cork lads, like, just... Yeah. He was almost in tears, because he knew he was leaving. Like, imagine leaving that team.
I think Frisch at the same time, though, was brilliant again the weekend. So he was brilliant against Leinster as well. So he's stepping back up again. Now to Nankivelli coming in. So the thing I'd be worried about is losing Healy, you said there. But I think hopefully the Murray effect will happen to Carberry, because he's been thrown away now for the last how many weeks? And I'm hoping that's going to light a fire in his belly, because it worked for us. With Murray and Earls was when he dropped him out of the squad.
He's nicely distracted. He got married last week.
Yeah, so Joey Carberry, that guy, if there's ever a chance, now's your chance to come back. Yeah. Come back, give it a good preseason. Whether he goes to the World Cup or not remains to be seen. But there's only they haven't signed another 10. Ben Healy's gone. There isn't too much coming up in the academy. You're going to be in that squad.
The question is then to you, Jason, Mr. Munster man, if and genuinely, if Joey Carberry doesn't step up, because we had it at Leinster, you know, he's so injury prone, and then obviously he went to Munster, and I was hoping for him that his career would reignite, and we thought it.
Ireland wants him to do well.
Yeah. So if he doesn't, where do you go? Because that leaves you as goose. And this was the thing, would your depth in your squad, you know, you've had a good, consistent now, you know, match day 23, people come in now, but your depth of your overall squad for the both competitions over a season-long period will
be
tested.
Oh, okay, as in, like, from the centre, like, I know you're losing Fekitoa there, like, but you have Nankivelli coming in, you also have Sean O'Brien coming in there.
Yes,
you also,
great.
A big, huge one is the fact that John Ryan is coming back.
Yeah.
So that's a big boost to us as well. You've got a couple of guys and you'd come
Conway,
back injury
hopefully
as well.
Yeah.
Conway's coming back. That's like a brand new sign. Conway's an unbelievable player. Who else has come back from injury?
Tom Ahern is coming back.
The only thing I would be worried about is at 10. And you could end up in a situation there because I think, I don't know if they've got the money or they haven't got the time or there's just no one out there, that if Jack Crowley is off with Ireland or whatever, if Joey gets injured, they're probably going to have to bring an emergency 10.
Yeah, but don't, there's going to be Crowley starting 10 and then Joey's going to be number 2.
But I'm saying, if Crowley's so injury prone, I'm saying, like, if anything happens, or sorry, Carberry's so injury prone, if anything happens, Carberry, because there's no real third one there,
but that's
why they're not bringing an emergency
10. That's
ten
what I'm trying to say, is Rory Scanlon's there.
Well,
if Rory Scanlon isn't a 10, like, you can't be putting a guy
He's well able to do it, like, he's not an out and out 10, but he's well able to do it.
Not if you want to keep winning trophies like this, so you can't rely. Like, Rory Scanlon's a centre and a very good centre, but he's not a 10.
I think the point is now that you have gotten all the multiple monkeys off your back, Leinster, trophies, everything else, it would be an absolute cardinal sin now. And Graham Rowntree, hats off to him. And I thought it was a beautiful touch to dedicate the win to Tom Tierney. I thought it was absolutely lovely. He was obviously central with Tommy there with the underage. And, you know, so you have lovely structures underneath now that are feeding into the seniors. And another big thing is that Graham Rowntree doesn't stand on ceremony or titles. If you're training, he doesn't name his squad till late, and I think that's huge. So the culture he's built there between Dennis Leamy and Mike Prendergast and just real stalwarts of Munster will be being back. I think it'd be just a sin. Yeah, and that's huge, and that's what it means. And it genuinely, as a player, a fan, it was just lovely to see. Like, I got goosebumps, and it was just, you know, I'm just a hopeless romantic for these amazing moments in sports, and it was lovely, and I'm delighted.
Yeah, it's beautiful to see, like, the coaching staff being from Munster as well. Obviously not Graham Rowntree, but Leamy and Prendergast. You can see how much it means to them. Like,
so, we saw the last 2 weeks like that. Like, we say sometimes that you need to take the emotion out of the sport sometimes, like, and it's all about being very well professionally drilled, but like, you saw the emotion from O'Gara in the final, and so I'm not trying to rub it in anything, I'm just trying to say that sometimes, like, you can wear your heart in your sleeve, like, and that can give you, that can get you over the line, because we have kind of gotten away from that, kind of going, you can be as emotional as you want, but if you're not good enough, but you can be, like, slightly outmatched, but your heart can get you over the line.
Well, I think Ron O'Gara's heart has fed into his La Rochelle players, and that's been a big buy-in,
They believe,
Yeah, well, speaking about that Leinster squad, we'll touch on them quickly. Caelan Doris was named player of the season at their award ceremony. Well deserved. I think you can't argue with that one. And they announced a couple of departing players. We obviously knew about Dave Kearney. I believe he's going over to the MLR.
Yeah,
yes. With Chicago.
So is Adam Byrne's going with him, apparently.
Could be, yeah. He's not re-signed with Connacht anyway, so he might be. Charlie Ryan and James Tracy, as we know. And then Max O'Reilly's leaving, young fella that plays full back. I don't know where he's going, but Nick McCarthy's also leaving, going over to play for the Eagles.
Is he?
Yeah, he is.
Well, that's the chat. And obviously then Johnny's leaving. I don't know when they're going to have the parade for Johnny.
After the Munster parade.
After we win the World Cup, silly. What are you talking about?
After we win the World Cup. Yeah, he's not retired, I suppose. Yeah, he's
still... We've been in touch with Dublin City Council about driving that bus down Grafton Street.
The Munster will be on it as well.
Just on that bit, because obviously the Munster Awards aren't yet. Like, if you were to name Munster Player of the Year and Munster Young Player of the Year.
Oh, wow.
In the men's squad.
I've won for myself.
I have my two pick in my head anyway.
Player of the Year for me would be, I think, Gavin Coombs.
Yeah.
Young player of the year. Would Crowley...
Has to be Crowley.
Be young
Crowley,
player. Because at the start of the year, he wasn't starting.
Yeah, I'd still say Crowley gets it. Crowley got young Irish young player of the year, so I'd give him young player of the year for Munster. And then, for me, I think the Munster's player of the year has been Klein. I think Klein's been flying.
True, consistent there.
He's played a lot of rugby as well. Yeah. It's just... he's had injury problems over the years, but he got himself really like up and running the last couple of years, like where he's just playing week in, week out.
Yeah.
Like, he's a hell of a player.
Those piano lifters never get any recognition, though, do they really? Like,
they don't. And he doesn't. He's a workhorse. Even his take, actually, from a restart, I was like, geez, he was like a little springbok there now getting up in
the air. There's a reason they call it the engine room. Like, you know, you don't see much going on. Like, it's just...
No, your second row never get... They never really get the accolades
and
they should.
The glue of the team.
Absolutely. So he's had a phenomenal...
Getting the ball out to the like a Jack Crowley, like, you know?
I'd say, if, for me, if I'd give it to someone, it's a guy like who nobody really ever mentions much here at all, and it's a shame, Mike Haley.
Mike Haley's up there as well.
Yeah,
Mike
I thought he was brilliant again at the weekend, wasn't
he? That try saver at the end, lads. If he doesn't like at least make that training squad, which we'll get onto, if he doesn't make at least make that training squad, as I said, I think he's been the best fullback in the URC this year, and I think he's the best fullback in the country behind Keenan. Obviously, Keenan is better than him, but if you look out fullback, he's the best fullback behind Keenan.
Well, let's talk about it then. The 45 man.
I'm
going
to give it to Anton Frisch because I felt left out there. Okay.
What about young player? That's Crowley is a Rogo or Crowley young player? Right?
Ah, yeah, Crowley. Because he got the Nevin Spence Young Player of the Year award, so he deserves it.
We'll go for that, so.
Grant, it's great for you to join us. And where are we catching up with you today in South Africa? And what did you make of that final then?
Yeah, so Pat, great to see you as well. I'm based in Cape Town. It was an epic URC final that we had yesterday in Cape Town. Munster really came with the goods, very dominant, especially in the first half. The Stormers launched a pretty good fight back at the end, but not to be, and that's sport. And the Stormers were magnanimous in defeat. I think they were all hurting. So last night at the press conference, Munster came in first. It's normally the other way around. But I think the boys in the Stormers change room had a few words to say to each other. And obviously with Stephen Kitsoff's last game, having signed for Ulster, he was obviously hurting. But as I say, that's the nature of sport, and Munster deserve a champions.
And I suppose even John was saying at the end of the game, like that, you know, it was almost like not even kind of considered that they would have defended the title until they kind of got to the end of the season. So he said it was almost kind of like to them, it was kind of like this would have been a bonus anyway. Like, but then to have it at home, like would hopes have been high heading into the game, especially with Munster beating Leinster and that being such a shock, I suppose, in the whole competition, would hopes have been high that they would have got that trophy defended?
Yeah, no, definitely. I think the Stormers were quietly confident. Obviously, you can never write off a team like Munster with their rich history and pedigree in the game. But in terms of local dispatches, everyone was looking at the Stormers for victory. But it was special to have the 5,000 Munster fans. I think it was, they were scattered in different patches of the stadium, but there were a few clusters and you saw the sea of red, which was lovely to see. And but the Stormers were certainly the favourites. And Munster have given a great account of themselves this season. Graham Rowntree has done some excellent work. I also think, Pat, there's some similar threads. There's some symmetry between the Stormers and Munster. I think in terms of the culture that both coaches have built and just how they've gone about their business. Very resilient bunch, both teams.
And I suppose like from, you were saying even before, like that you'd bumped into Alan Quinlan and a few of the Munster fans as well. What was the kind of talk from Quinny? And then did you bump into any of them after the game then as well?
Yeah, so Quinny was quite circumspect, but he said that the only way Munster are going to beat the Stormers is by being aggressive, abrasive, obviously staying disciplined. And I think they did that very well. I thought the Italian referee had a very good game in terms of the way he managed it. But Munster was certainly, I think they were dominant in all facets of play. And then obviously post-match, the Irish fans were good value, and I've seen a few still around Cape Town today. I think quite a lot of beer was consumed.
I did see there's a lot of stuff that goes around after the games. I think you know, Mark Keohane, who's kind of would have riled up the Lions fans by saying their players were like hobbits a couple of years ago. He was confidently predicting a kind of Stormers win. He kind of said it could even be by 20 or 30 points as well. Like, but yeah, he's kind of like, he's an extreme version, isn't he? Like, not everybody would have been quite as overconfident as that.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's on a different side of the scale. I think you take that with a pinch of salt, but generally speaking, South Africans are very respectful of what the Irish have done. And I think if you just look at the competition, the fact that three of the four teams who made it to the semi-final were Irish speaks to the strength of your game.
Yeah, yeah. And what did you, from Irish players, like, you know, or from Munster players, who stood out for you in that final as kind of having good games?
I think your winger, Kelvin Nash, was excellent. Obviously, Fekitoa is a special player. He's looking for a new challenge now, clearly. And then, obviously, South Africa's own Archie Snyman, Rudolf Gerardus, that's how they say it in South Africa. He's a towering figure, hey? Also known as the Viking. What a special player. He's been called up to the Springbok squad now, back-to-back knee injuries. So he's a very resilient character. And after the game, the Munster boys were talking about him. Tyde Byrne was saying in the press conference afterwards, he's not just a special player, but a special person as well. And the boys love him in the change room.
Yeah, because there was a chance, I heard there was a chance that he could have returned back to South Africa like after that 2 years with Munster, but he chose himself that he wanted to stick around and kind of almost prove a point and kind of pay back Munster for kind of investing so much time and effort in him.
Yeah, exactly. They've done so much with him in terms of the rehabilitation. So I think he almost wants to pay them back. He's had such limited game time. So I think he's a really good team man. So I think he's a great acquisition for Munster. Hopefully, if he can stay fit, he will have a very big rugby championship and then a great World Cup. And then, obviously, the Springboks and the Irish will lock horns on September the 23rd in Paris.
Talking about the 45-man Ireland training squad being announced tomorrow for the World Cup. So we know the obvious ones that are going to be in there, but anyone that you think might be left to field that has put their hand up and will be selected for the 45-man squad? We'll go with Lindsay first.
Anyone on the outside?
Yeah, like, who do you think would be, oh, Jesus, surprised to get that they're in there? Or they did well to get in there, do you know what I mean?
Oh.
Like, I know you take time to come up with names at the top of your head, so I'm going to go first. I think Kelvin Nash has done enough to get in there. I think Shane Daly's knocking on the door as well. The only issue is, there's a certain amount of wingers and back three that are going to be picked. Yeah. So you can't pick everyone.
Only one of them will get in, put it that way.
Yeah, but Daly's the most consistent Munster player throughout the years, played the most minutes in most games. Kelvin Nash is outstanding every time he plays. I also agree with you that Mike Haley would be an incredible second to Hugo Keenan. And other than that, they'd be kind of my three biggest ones.
I think Lachman is going to get back in there again because his last
couple
of games.
He's
been really good, like, and I think he might overtake Killer because Killer has kind of been left to the side, unfortunately, at Munster and wasn't even on the bench again the weekend. Lachman played really well in both of those games. So,
and do you think, you mentioned there John Klein, he's Irish qualified. He's capped for Ireland.
They might look at bringing him in the 45-man training squad. I can bring him in and see what he looks and look at him. Maybe he might not make the final squad, but what if there's injuries in training in the build-up? He went to the last World Cup. You know, there was a bit of controversy over that.
Dave got in
ahead of him, but I mean, it's like the only way to look at it is look at the Munster, Ulster, and Connacht teams, because the bulk of that team is going to be the Leinster team. So there's very few players in Leinster who are going to miss out. Let's be honest. It's called a spade here.
So you look
through those three teams and you go, can you see anyone there? You start off with Munster and you look through the pack. We've mentioned everyone there. I think maybe not a left field one, but I do think, and I'm not just saying this at my heart, I do think Keith Earls has done enough to get back in that squad and to be in there as part of that squad, because not just what he brings as a player, but what he brings as a person. And I think Farrell is a big fan of him as well. And you need, as you said, like how much it means to be when you go off on tour, have these people around you that make you a better player, even in training. He has to be there. Like, and it's not just to kind of give him his two pity caps. He should be there.
Yeah, he should be in there. Frisch is Irish qualified, is he not, through the IQ?
Yeah, he played in the Emerging Ireland Tour.
Ooh. I'm going to say, I'm going to throw him in for the 45-man squad.
I like that one.
Yeah, I'm going to throw him in there because I think, to be honest, our centre position, like, we've been in and out. We've two men who are world class but are injury prone in Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose. I'm hoping. Please, dear God.
It's going to be a Mystic Lindsay moment.
So I'm going to go with Frisch, to be honest. I think he's been so consistent throughout the year. I think his partnership with Fekitoa, I am sad to see him go. I think they've really been class in the season, especially the second half of the season. So I'm going to go for Anton Frisch because I know he came over from the IQ setup and I would assume that he came in to be playing in a green jersey.
What,
so.
What about that bullet,
yeah,
man? What about
that's a good one.
What about John Hodnett, lads?
I was going to say him.
I know. He'd I just don't know.
Like,
there's
no
space.
I know he's not that big and I know there's a lot of stuff, but my God, lads, there was fellas. He's like a bull. It's exactly the only way to describe him. He's just a bull.
And he reminds me those, I played with World Class Sevens who are just like, they don't have a filter and they just do what they do around. Yeah. It's just, they've no concern for their body at all.
Scott Penny's been class this year and obviously Josh is your seven, like, but maybe into the training squad, like, and get him in there and see what he's made of. Like,
well, Andy Farrell definitely has to be looking at him after the URC final, but is there a space in the
back row? Probably not. Probably not.
I was having a go for Sports Show there this morning of picking who I think might go. And I think I ended up with Scott Penny and then Max Deegan getting left out. But then, yeah, Hodnett kind of not even kind of in the conversation, which he should be. I had Klein back in.
I think Klein deserves a shot in the 45. Anyway.
Yeah, and then Nash in. And then I think Prendergast as well would be, that is my other one. Like, but yeah, Frisch is a great one. Is there only when you're saying
which Prendergast? Keane or Sam?
Keane. Oh, jeepers, yeah.
And Sam then, could be, you never know. That could be like,
Sam could be go in left training, field? Yeah.
Bring Sam in as
then
an extra.
You'd have to think of how many tens he's going to pick for a 5
man. Do you think Joy will make it?
No.
45 man squad, how many tens? There's going to be at least three, if not four tens.
Yeah. Johnny's going to be there at start.
Crowley. Oh, do you think Johnny will be allowed rest? So that frees up a space.
He'll be in the squad, but he won't be able to do anything for weeks. So he'll need to bring four. He'll have to have four tens in the first 45 because he'll need three tens in their own training probably, like, with Johnny not playing.
Well, you're going to have Carberry and Crowley, obviously. I think Carberry's still there. I think, like, they give him another shot. Is he completely out of the Irish squad now as well?
If he can't even get into the Munster squad at the moment, and then, like, Johnny Sexton, Harry Byrne has been in around the Leinster squad for a while. I mean, he played some decent rugby.
Both Byrne brothers, yeah.
So, and then you've got, like, Prendergast is this, like, he's shit hot. He's the guy that we're all looking up to. But this guy's going to be a superstar.
Mm.
Maybe it's probably a bit too soon for him.
Yeah.
But
you never know till you throw him in, you know, that environment. And I think
he threw Jack in, like, and it didn't seem to bother him to start the Six Nations. He was like, okay, just throw this guy in and see what happens.
We're all big fans of Joey, but I agree.
Do you think Joey's in?
I don't think so.
Maybe it's my monster.
He could do it off and wait till he comes back. I'd love to see Joey in the squad. I still believe in him. I still think he's got the potential. We've seen what Joey's made of. Joey is an incredible talent. Unbelievable player. Like, there's not that long ago we were talking about this guy going, this guy is going to, he is the succession to Johnny Sexton.
Successor, yeah.
The successor, like, in the whatever, successor. But, and, like, he did it in so many big games. So he did it against New Zealand twice.
Yes.
And, like, look, he's had a few injuries, a bit of bad run of form. Yeah, well, like, you don't just become a bad player, like.
No, and maybe there's something in the background that, there was a discussion that maybe he needed that time just to get himself right physically, emotionally, mentally. Because, you know, we always see the player, but there is a person, you know, within that jersey, behind that jersey. And, like, I have no doubt he's such, anyone who knows him, I don't know him personally, but has spoken of, a really good guy. And I do hope he gets in there, but I would hate him to be just included in an Ireland squad when he hasn't, you know, got back on his feet, got his confidence back through Munster.
Yeah.
So unless he's right and they've had that discussion, yes, bring him in, but I don't want him to come in to then be kind of back down to rock bottom again because he's just not getting that time and space.
Yeah. He made that mistake 4 years ago. He should never went to that World Cup because he wasn't fit.
He wasn't fit, yeah. It was unfair in a moment.
And it destroyed his following season, and it probably has, like, he hasn't really got back to a level since that.
Yeah.
Because he was rushed into that World Cup, like, and that was a big mistake from Joe Smith.
Yeah.
Because Joe Smith loved him. And rightfully, because he was a class player. But if you're not, like, at the moment, like, maybe, like, obviously, not fully fit, not playing, it's probably not the right time to bring him in, like, because you should be playing somewhat consistent level of rugby to be able to be considered for a World Cup squad for the number one ranked team in the world.
Do you think Dermot Barron's done enough to get a shout? He's been playing consistently, getting tries, operating well. Yeah, it's going to be the two boys from Leinster. And Herring, I'd
Herring
say.
Herring and
what's Tom Stewart has had a season of his life. I think Dermot Byrne would be very unlucky still, but only 24. He obviously got the first try to get you back in the game over the weekend, and he's done exceptionally well. I think probably just short of his time. But
he's been huge in Munster because we've been whinging and moaning about the fact that we don't have a hooker and we need one, and he has really stepped up to the plate.
Like, Malcolm Marks.
I'm actually feeling, for the first time, I'm actually confident going into next season going, we do have a really good hooker.
That's good because you're upset about your hooker.
We're worried about hooker for a long time. Like, I don't think we've had like a world class hooker since Gerry Fannery, to be honest with you. So long it's been since we've had a hooker on the same level as a Dan Sheehan or a Rowan Keller.
Is Malcolm Marks still coming?
No, I don't think so. Do you think
Tim Burns in?
I think he just might miss out on numbers, but if there's an injury, he'll get called straight in, kind of thing. Like,
especially his position, like, you're just.
What was the other one? Tighthead, because it's like, again, you'll know Tom O'Toole, Finlay Beelam, Tadhg Furlong, no bother. And then if they bring in a Fortman, I was like, you're probably down to Salanoa. Like,
what they might probably do there is not bring a fourth one and use Healy or Porter.
Porter,
use
Healy or switch
Porter
over.
As your extra backup tight end. That's probably what they'll do.
So is Killer in for you now? Then, as say, you're.
I don't know.
You're
like,
so you're Porter, Healy,
Lockman. Well, just for the training squad, anyway.
Killer should be in the training squad, I'd imagine.
Yeah, 4-4-4.
But will you make the, what is it now? It's 33 man squad now. So, like, those extra two positions you have, so it was 31 4 years ago. You're probably going to bring an extra front row. There's only one of them.
Yeah, and probably utility.
We only brought 2 9s last year and 3 10s. Do you bring 3 9s this time and 3 10s and then use an extra front row?
Well, see, that's where I think the Crowley factor will come in, because he obviously went to 12 when Healy came on. And he's that utility player. So I think he will go in for that reason, being in
your
33.
You've seen some teams over the years just bring 2 10s. Like, that's a bit. I think Jones did it 2019, I think it was. It's a bit of a gamble bringing 2 10s, I think, personally. I think it's also a bit of a gamble. Like, we'd Ringrose as our backup nine just in case the last time.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't come to that, but that's a gamble. Like, I think your real specialist positions, your nine, your 10, your tight end, full back. Well, the full back, I suppose, at that level, yes. That's why I think you bring a Mike Haley, because Mike Haley is an out and out full back. That's no disrespect to a Jimmy O'Brien, a Mac Hansen, a Jordan Larmour, who are good fullbacks, decent fullbacks, but are they out and out fullbacks at World Cup level? Probably not. So if anything happens to Keenan, hopefully not. Are you in a situation there? Whereas if you have a Haley come in there, you're like, there's a guy that's safe as houses who's a proper fullback.
Yeah,
it's just he hasn't been blooded at that. That's the only thing might go against him, you know?
He hasn't got in. He should have been in that Six Nations squad, because he was in the former side coming into Six Nations as well.
Look, we'll see. We'll see. We can talk about Mike Haley for an hour, but let's move on to our player of the season, guys. All right, so do you all have someone in mind? The whole season, URC, you can bring in European Cup if you want. From across the board. It's a tough
across
one.
The board. All teams are just Irish.
All teams. Dan Sheehan, didn't it?
URC got Dan Sheehan.
Yeah.
Or is that what we're going for? We're going for all.
I think, I'm not being smart now, I think if we should look at this the same way you look at the European player of the season. So if you go the whole way up, then that the player of the season should come from either the Stormers or Munster, I think. Because it should be from part of a team that goes all the way and gets to the final.
Yeah, it's a tough
one. I think
it's
a fair way of putting it. And if I was to look at that, then I'd look at someone like, probably it'd be a toss-up between someone like Klein or Lebak. Someone like that, like, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe. It's tough.
What do you think, Lindsay? Your expertise, or Mr. Pat?
Tadhg Byrne.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go with Tadhg Byrne.
I'd probably go Haley then as well. Like, again, somebody who's played all across the league season then as well.
He's played a lot. Good, he's missed a game.
Yeah.
Well, Tadhg Byrne's been injured, hasn't he?
You missed a bit, yeah?
I go with Coombs, actually. Captain Coombs.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I actually can't even put my finger on it. I was going to go with Lebak, and then he's just... The mistake he made in the final, I'm just like... Yeah. If I was selecting him, say, for Springbok, I'd be like, I don't know if I can trust him.
Yeah.
But like, as a, like, an entertainer and a skillful player, I just think he's class. So
good.
Yeah, it's either between him, or if I had to pick a Munster person, I'd give it to Shane Daly, because it's consistency.
Fair.
He's just playing week in, week out, playing well, and sometimes the wingers get overlooked unless they're scoring loads of tries, like, do you know what I mean? But he's just putting in serious performance. Women's player of the season?
Niamh Jones.
Niamh Jones, yeah. What do you think, guys?
I'm gonna go. Well, like the I was thinking.
But even, she's across the water. See, it's different for the women's.
Well, yeah, you can't because they're in different competition stuff. But you can just pick an overall one. That's best. Yeah. There's an overall club one.
Overall club one. Oh God, you'll have to come back to me on that one.
Yeah, it's very hard.
I would probably say, yeah, Derville, Nicavard.
Yeah,
like,
Derville,
yeah. And then like just finding her feet with Ireland now. We've had such a good season for Munster then as well. Like, but I think Cliona Maloney finished the season brilliantly, didn't she then, for over with Exeter? Like, and
yeah, they're relying on the last round matches this weekend. They're guaranteed a semi as far as I know, but it's going to depend on their win. They're playing Gloucester in Kingsholm this Saturday.
Which is Niamh Jones' team, isn't it? Yep. Gloucester Harper, yeah.
Yeah, so there's Niamh Jones, Sam Monaghan, Catherine Boogie, they're all there. And then the Irish contingent is Laura Sheehan, Nicola Friday, Cliona Maloney, so it'll be Battle of the Irish now for home semi-final this Saturday, class. Skin and hair
fine. It's an extra, it's a battle within a battle, essentially.
It is a battle within a battle.
I love that.
I'm trying to think now, I'm going to pick probably between Railway and Blackrock because we made the AIL final.
Oh yeah.
Siena's been...
Take some more time. I'm going to give my women's player of the season to Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe.
Ah, fabulous.
Who played for the women's sevens team. Yeah. Scored two tries in the match to beat Fiji to qualify them for the Olympics. And she, I presume she's top try scorer in the World Series again this year. She was last year. Yeah. She is a freak, man. She scores tries for fun. She's like Jordan Conroy of the women's team, but better.
She's fantastic.
She's just unbelievable.
Player in person. Yeah.
I'm giving mine to Lindsay because she's still winning trophies and still banging them out and still doing it.
Ah, thank you very much, Jason.
You're my women's player.
Thank you.
Season.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Still rocking them out. Still winning trophies for fun, like.
Yeah, basketball and rugby.
Do you know what I mean?
Basketball, yeah, we won the...
This woman got up and played a basketball tournament on the Sunday after we were out in the tear for the Champions Cup final.
Ridiculous.
I couldn't breathe and couldn't get out and put my socks on. And she went off and played a basketball tournament and won it. And I'm like...
Built different.
You're built different. It's like, I'm here, like, literally on a life-saving machine in my hotel room going...
Two takeaway orders into the room, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was getting boojum delivered to me. Like, and I was like, I'm off playing basketball. It's like, all right, there's something wrong with you.
Two games is the best hangover cure. Actually, do you mind if I give a shout out to my club? Because they actually... I never told you this, and I'm not saying it to be an asshole. It's probably one of my biggest sporting careers. I got player of the year for Railway this year.
Oh, congratulations.
Which is probably one of my most...
And you're getting House of Rugby player of the year.
And I'm getting House of Rugby. But I do want to shout out to all the... It's actually on behalf of more so Railway that it's one of my biggest actually achievements actually in my sporting career so far.
That's nice.
Because when it's your club and it means so much. So a big shout out to Railway and all the coaching staff and all the players who've been exceptional this year. So yes, thank you. So thank you for that emotional moment.
That's nice. That's a lovely moment.
Yeah, it is.
That's what rugby's all about. That's where it starts.
Yeah.
That's where it starts, at your club. You know what I mean? You've played for Leinster and Ireland and stuff, but your club will always mean the most to you.
Oh,
your actual club, your local club. Should look at this fella. This fella would die for Shannon, I'd say. Actually, he'd be out in a... you know what I mean? That's where it all comes from.
Yeah. That might have to go back playing.
See?
I have my third year now.
Shannon are looking for players as well.
Are they? I'm a Munster woman now.
Have you had enough time to think? Sorry, come on.
I'm going to go for Keelan Brady.
Okay.
So Keelan plays second row for us and she can play back row, but she's actually been one of the most consistent players. She's a bit like your Gavin Coombs or your Ben Healy or your Crowleys or your Shane Daly's or your Amy Lee Murphy-Crowe's. She plays for Ulster. She deserves hopefully a shot now in the next stage of women's rugby where she goes onto a development squad. But Keelan Brady is my player of the year. And I know I play with her at Railway, but I get to see firsthand the amount of work she puts in. And look, lads, we could pick a load of players. Mm. I don't disagree with Derv. There's been some exceptional players at Blackrock and Belvo with Aoife Dalton got young player of the year for Leinster. Jenny Murphy got herself back fit.
Mm.
Like, the league is strong in so many areas. And if we can get some other areas of it up to think that, you know, the future is bright, but I'm going to give it to Keelan Brady.
Nice.
Amongst many
it's
others.
It's always hard to pick a player of the season in any competition because it's like there's never just one, really, just one really outstanding player. It's always like there's like five or six.
Yeah.
It's so hard to pick one.
And one more question I have for you is the biggest surprise of the season. It can be good, it can be bad, it can be indifferent. I don't think Munster winning was a surprise. I said it back at the start. I was like, there's something left
in Munster.
Early
in the season,
I'm not going back.
I said it early. We can go back and clip it if you want.
No, I was the opposite. Like, so I gave nothing.
Sorry, actually, thanks for reminding me.
They're my biggest.
Thanks for reminding me. I'm coming in here this morning. Everyone stop talking.
Yeah. I didn't.
I wanted an apology from you, an apology from you to Munster. Because we'll go back
Munster,
and you,
I love
you lambasted him.
I got so, it means so much to me, it angers me and it upsets me. It doesn't anger me, it upsets me.
Just keep there. No, you get, you gave your apology already.
Okay, that's fine.
No, I don't. It upsets me. So I do, I apologise. I have never been so happy in my life to eat my own words. I am delighted. And to me, they are the biggest surprise of the season. They have the biggest, like, just the way they did it, and they left it so late in such typical Munster fashion. The grow you have after that, like, and it's just like, I should be used to this. We've done this so many times before. This is what we do. We're the underdogs that come back and win and bring a province together in so incredible fashion.
Will you ever do it again? Doubt our Munster?
I'll try not to, but...
You guys want to poke it out. Ross, this is a special moment.
Yeah, it was like him going like, oh, you didn't believe us. You were writing us off. It's like, yeah, we were writing you off for the last 12 years and it worked out pretty well for us. But just congratulations.
Most of the Munster like, wrote him off at the start of the season, and most of Ireland as well. Like, so you were one of the few people that did back him. So
hopeless romantic. It's right. That's it. That's, I forgot to ask you for an apology. No. Thanks, guys.
Fine.
Pat, you've no apologies to give, Pat.
Oh, God. Yeah, thank God.
I can dig back at some of Pat's articles and tweets now. We'll find the food.
I'm only making you do apologies because you made me do one to Mac Hansen last year.
That is fair.
So I had to get you back.
So getting your revenge.
I think Mac called for his own apology.
Mac is so chill, he probably didn't even know what was going on. He did not give a crap. Biggest surprise of the season, as good or bad. I can give my own first if you need time.
No, it's Leinster have come away from the season trophyless.
But not, it's a good one.
That's a good one. It's nuts. Yeah. Bad
that
surprise.
Is mind blowing. Like, I'm still reeling, as I say. Yeah, here.
Still won a trophy more recently than Leinster. Let's remember that.
Who?
Benetton Treviso won a trophy more recently than Leinster.
Which one was that?
They won the Rainbow Cup the year before the URC started in the summer. Hey,
do you know what?
It's a trophy.
Do you know what? It's too actually bloody soon for that.
In fairness, Leinster won the Shield.
That's not a cup.
They've won it 2 years in a row, is that?
Yeah, retain the Shield.
I don't even know what it looks like. Have you ever even seen it?
Yeah, it looks good actually. It is a Shield. It is sad.
I know.
Leinster haven't won anything. And the amount of times during the season we've gone, Leinster are unbeatable, their depth, everything, there's no who's going to beat them. So, yeah.
They are still probably the best club in the world.
Them or La Rochelle.
Them and La Rochelle, like, they're just.
They are. Yeah.
It needs 100%. To come down to something, just, I don't know, whatever it is next year. Like, but if they go trophies again next year, like, with that crop of players that they have, then questions really have to be asked.
But I think they've got
the amount of money back in the players, the development system, the exposure, the test game exposure for the players that are there at international level, even at under-20s, and those young players coming in at URC. So, like we've just said it on, you know, earlier in the show, like the standard of competition that the young lads are playing in. So, but again, we've been there as players or as coaches or whatever else. Like the mindset is so key to those big, big games, because there's defining moments that win you or lose you a game. And I still play back the, I'm more than sure for one of the kicks, unfortunately Lowe put into touch, or he didn't find touch, sorry, that there was a 4-on-3, if not a 4-on-2, that they could have just made gain line, got to an edge and set it up again. And it's easy for me to sit here and say
what that stat that popped up during the week,
not one pass
outside the 9-10.
That was outrageous. Explain that further. I couldn't believe that stat.
The entire game was just second half. Just the second half.
The entire game,
not one of Leinster's backs passed the ball, bar the 9 and 10. Zero passes.
In the final of the European Cup.
In the final, zero passes.
Now you're looking at Ringrose, Henshaw, Lowe, Keenan,
Jimmy O'Brien.
On the other wing.
Top class international superstars.
Not one pass between the
not
whole back
line. Between the whole lot of them.
That is crazy.
Which is a phenomenal stat. So that comes down to mentality, coaching, I don't know. But
I think they've got the missing piece for mentality with Jacques Niemeyer coming in, South African head coach. I think he's going to give them that little extra that they need.
So you played under him, didn't you? Like you said, like the impact he made from day one was
mentally
phenomenal.
He just tunes you in, like turns you into a beast. So I think watch out for Leinster next year in the finals, because now they have to have learned their lesson by this stage, Lindsay.
Yeah.
Like how many finals do they have to lose? Do you know what I mean?
But winning is a habit.
Yeah.
Like I still will go back to an All-Ireland, we were 10 points up and we lost by a point, and it was like Gerald O'Flynn put that ball over the bar, world class, all-star galore. She looked like B.A. Brockes, I'd say, between trophies and all-stars, like way down, you know. Yeah, do you know? And she just had one defining moment and she put that winning point on, and she had wides that game. You wouldn't even, it was so uncharacteristic.
Yeah.
but still the belief in that Cork team to grind it back. Same with Galway yesterday. Dublin hurlers, we let them off the hook. We were, oh, I think, 10 points
that
up at half time.
Comeback.
My brother-in-law was so excited because they're,
yeah, we played sublime in the first half, but Galway knew how to come back. They just chipped, they put pressure on, they put pressure on the puck out. So Dublin had a short puck out in the first half. And these are all the winning mindsets because they believe in the process and know how to win. And it's a habit, and it's just one turn. And hopefully now, Munster have the winning habit back, and you'll go on to win it. But
shout out to Limerick as well. Actually, yesterday as well, we have to be shout out to fact.
We
I know we're not going back to, come here, you've got two Limerick men here, we have to.
If you told us
before throwing yesterday that Limerick would be in a Munster final, first of all, that Limerick Cork game was absolutely incredible. Cracking. And then for big old Davy to do us a favour and for Waterford to win, no one expected that. And I guarantee you, you look at people giving all about Limerick the last few weeks and they're like, oh, I don't know, this is it now. I could mystic Mac moment now that Limerick will win the All-Ireland again this year. And that's what happens. Winning is a habit.
Let's keep with the rugby now.
You can do your surprise after me, but I'll throw in two quick ones. Bad surprises, Worcester and Wasps going to the wall.
Yeah. London Irish
could be next as well, unless there's a massive, someone swoops in at the last minute. The IRFU, possibly. And then the other one is just the emergence of Ross Byrne back in the Ireland setup and Jack Crowley as well. That thing where Crowley played in Sexton's jersey and stuff back in that Australia game back in November.
That was nuts.
It's almost sometimes it's so funny. You ever see that there's a Tuchel and Antonio Conte were fighting with each other earlier this season. That was earlier this season, but
it's been a long season.
Yeah. It's the same with Crowley, to think that he came in nervous as steel again on his debut and started and
Johnny Sexton's name etched in with his cap number on the jersey.
Well. And then he comes back and back at the Aviva and breaks Lance Harrison as well.
Our season started all the way back with that New Zealand series. And then it just didn't get, it went straight into all of them. It's Champions Cup and URC. It's been just non-stop for the whole year. It's class. I love it.
Talking about Calvin
and
Nash.
World Cup to come. Rugby. I love it.
Calvin Nash down at the emerging trip.
Yeah.
And next, well, and we spoke about just getting consistency. He had a couple of caps last year.
That was before. So we've been non-stop.
What's your biggest surprise of the season, Jason?
Biggest surprise? I still think I'm going to go with Munster. Yeah, it is to me. They're the biggest surprise of the season.
You're going
to
stick with that one.
I honestly didn't expect it. I really didn't.
You were going to send him.
I didn't expect it 2 weeks ago. Never mind the season. I didn't expect us to beat Leinster.
That's true. Okay, they're good ones, guys. So our never stop competing moment of the week. We obviously
should we have the season, should it, or have the year, or have the week?
Obviously, have to give it to Munster.
Like. Have the season.
They never give up. Yes.
Come on, let's
come on.
The decade.
What they have? Four defeats in their first five games, something like that.
They should get the never stop.
Do you remember we were we don't know if they're going to make the playoff spots in the URC?
And now they're after winning the URC. That's never stopped competing in the season. And that's not just us saying that and being biased. You have to.
They kept going.
Any neutral would say, give you the same answer.
Have you got it out of your system now? We're going for lunch after this. No more talking about Munster or Limerick or anything like that.
We get to talk about Munster.
Alwyn Jones, he hung up his boots and everything played over the weekend. There's loads.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. So the never stop competing moment of the week to get our Bank of Ireland goes to Munster. For the win, of course it does. Lads, very sad to say that's the last episode of this season.
I can't believe we're sitting here in these jerseys.
If you had told us at the start of the season that you'd be all sitting here in Munster jerseys.
Imagine just leaving.
After week I'm forfeiting thinking, I'm not going to be sitting here in a jersey. And here
so
I am.
So next season, so we have to wear Leinster jerseys.
Yes.
I've never worn Leinster jerseys in my life.
I don't know if I could do that.
I don't know if I could do it either. But if Lindsay and Pat did it, we kind of owe it to them. But
I'm sure we'll see you next
season.
They're
probably going to choke in another final, so I thought I'd want to be honest.
We'll see next season.
Sam Pendergast going to get a drop goal to win us the European Cup next season.
I think so. I think you should forfeit it now if we win Champions Cup next season. Full kit.
You have to give me this moment, Lindsay. This might not happen again, I have to get as much as I can out of it. Oh, here I am. No, not backing them again. It's going to happen again next year. Get ready for it.
Leinster, Munster.
It's enough.
Tottenham, Hotspur, Stadium.
I'm trying to wrap up the show here.
I think you need another apology from him, actually.
You like bold kids, will you let me wrap up the show? For the predictions for the World Cup, quickly, who's going to win the World Cup?
Ireland.
Nice.
France.
Oh my God.
Munster. I mean, Ireland.
Brilliant.
And yours?
I think Ireland will do it. Because
Mystic they've been doing it so well. Again.
Number one in the world, Ireland. Leinster are obviously the bone of the Irish team and they're the best club in Europe, probably. And then Munster are just coming into fruition now. I'm like, it's the best country in the world for playing rugby. So, Ireland for the World Cup. I want to thank you all for your expertise throughout the season. Lindsay, you've been immaculate. The best broadcaster presenter in the island of Ireland.
I'm not sure about that, but thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Amazing.
You're a gentleman.
Top notch stuff. Working with you. Pat, you've been unbelievable with the stats and keeping the ship running.
He's a stat man.
Thank you so much for everything. Jason dropping in and out, man. Always bringing the energy and the expertise from the rugby lad. Thank you so much. And all the backroom staff here to put this together. And of course, you at home listening to this, you've been amazing. We wouldn't be here without you. So thank you so much. And of course, to our sponsors, Bank of Ireland, proud supporters of the four Irish provinces. That's our last episode for the season. But who knows, we might be back for the World Cup.
We'll be back. We'll be back.
Back in the summer for warm-ups.
We'll be back. Hopefully. Don't you worry.
We'll catch you then, guys. Lots of love.
Joe presents House of Rugby, together with Bank of Ireland, proud supporter of the four Irish provinces.